everyone, and welcome to episode 44 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Tom Magrino.
Henry Gilbert.
Ryan Telgenick.
And Luke Sulf.
We got a 5-man team.
Are we...
What?
44.
We're 44.
44.
Does that make you excited?
I thought we were much higher.
Brand new
I mean, if you count our bonus episodes, we're probably over... We're easily over 50.
Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, we did 4 during the week of E3.
Yeah.
We
are those canon, though, or are they...
Oh, they're canon.
Bonus.
They're extracurricular.
I'd like to make them non-canon.
Yeah.
At least one of them.
Good times. Light week for news, but we filled that gap with plenty of fun features, including this week's top 7, which has been on the calendar for longer than I think any top 7 we've ever done. The top 7... Michael Jackson involvements in gaming, and I'm going to tell you, Lucas, I think the headline might have been one of the reasons why not a lot of people read this one.
No one
involvements
told me
in
that
gaming.
in the period, so it's all good.
I really didn't. I thought that was a placeholder. I'm going to be blatantly honest.
So the thing I like about this one is basically as soon as Michael Jackson died, we were like, oh, yo, guys, we should do a top 7.
That was planned that long.
No, God, no.
Oh, right. He had been dead for several months, and then we were like, yo, guys.
Get out of here, Tom.
Nobody says
yo. It was more like, I was like, hey, Michael Jackson's in a lot of games, and Games Radar doesn't have anything honoring the man.
Right.
We were like,
I feel like we.
No.
Like if you go back
Google
to
that
the
ish.
Talk radar back on the week of his death, we definitely talked about it there.
Seems likely.
Nothing on the record that Google can
detect. I remember Chris Antista pulled up a sound effect of him dying in Moonwalker, and he's like, this is Michael Jackson's death rattle.
Oh, God.
That's
but he
up.
Said that in the most tasteful way possible.
All right.
As Antista is known to
yes.
do.
Is want to do. So
is oft to do.
If I may, number 7, Michael Jackson, The Experience.
This one was announced after his death, I want to say.
Shortly after.
Yeah.
They were like, hell yeah.
He was
free. This is it. Death. And this game, we're like we can make a killing right now. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Throttling
and
his corpse.
Did.
Shaking it for all the money.
Wasn't it announced at E3?
Yeah, it was at the end of Ubisoft's press conference. They're like, we have one more thing. This. And then people just danced out Michael Jackson style. And they're like, that's right, a Michael Jackson dancing game. But it was just like, no game existed at that point.
There was a logo.
Yeah.
Right.
Or wait, was there even a logo? Or did they just say, we have the license to do Michael Jackson dancing game?
It was a Photoshop job.
I mean, my favorite part about this game is that it was then later brought to, iOS devices. Right? So it's like you're swiping the screen.
That's what you do.
Honestly, I like when they announced, when they finally revealed information, it's like, what is it, a Just Dance clone? They're like, yeah, except it just tracks one of your hands as if you were wearing the white glove.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool.
It basically is Just Dance, but
yes.
with animated Michael Jackson dancers instead of animated random
and let's
iPod
be honest,
commercial
he has
looking
the best dances.
Yeah,
he does.
Or had
no doubt.
Bless his soul, had the best
I mean,
dances.
Did he really?
Yeah,
it's inarguable.
He was
Pop
a real
and Lock better than Pop and Lock.
Yeah, because Pop and Lock has no.
Wait, better than the twerk?
No flow.
Yeah, is it better than twerking?
Is it better than that weird dance where you slam your inner thighs a bunch of times?
You're hell? Really good at that. Dance.
What is that called?
We
I
gotta,
have to know.
Is it the one that they, and there's that video where it's like two superheroes at a party
yes.
and they just do it?
Yes.
Is that your only experience with it? Because that's
yes.
my only experience
Mine
with
too,
it.
Mine too, but it just caught me off guard. What a brazen dance to do at a party.
While dressed as Spider-Man and Wolverine.
I must know what it is called. I will find out.
I believe it's the official Billie Jean dance.
Is that
yes.
what that is?
Yes.
No. Okay.
Oh, boy. Number 6. Planet Michael. Not actually a game that exists presently.
It's one
presently.
Of like those dozens of
Vaporware,
MMOs that
yeah.
get announced. They're like, we're making a Firefly MMO. No, for real. Believe us.
Here's
really
three screenshots.
Except this one. Did this one ever come out?
No.
So I'm just really baffled why anybody thought this would be cool in the first place.
I'm more baffled why it's higher on, or why it has a better position on the list than a game that actually came out.
I mean, it seems like it probably was rooted in Michael Jackson likes children. Children like video
oh,
games.
Oh, come on.
No, that wasn't a pedophilia joke. He actually likes kids.
So I realized something
really
when writing this top 7 in that there are some Michael Jackson fans out there that it's like, it goes deep. Like, they have reached a level of infatuation that I never knew about. Because everyone loves Michael Jackson, but these people Michael Jackson.
I mean, look. Are we talking like necrophilia here?
Oh my God, Tom,
what are you talking about?
It was very obvious to me. He was just saying some people were really into Michael Jackson. And not possible.
If you go to YouTube and look at comments on his music videos, they're like, his voice turns me on.
I mean.
Well, but so how could anyone feel anything sexual for Michael Jackson?
I don't know. Asexual,
aside from that one, aside from the video that came after Black and White when it aired, where he like is smashing,
where he turns into a panther.
He turns into a panther.
Now here's how you feel something sexual for Michael Jackson. Imagine him shirtless. Hammering an engine block like any man knows how to
do. Do you remember the one where he was supposed to be sexy, where it was the video with him and
Paul McCartney? Is it
the one with
The
Lisa
Girl
Maria
Is Mine?
The
one with Paul McCartney. That song is the worst fucking song.
I love that song.
That's the song where it's just like Paul McCartney being like, Michael, I believe the girl is mine. He's just like, no, Paul, the girl is mine. And I'm like,
I love that song.
Like, if they both died at that exact moment, the world would have been an infinitely better place.
You know what's great? And then right after that video, Michael Jackson, as a tribute to Paul McCartney, bought the rights to all the Beatles songs. And
he's
like,
a genius.
Totally fucked him.
No. He was so smart because he was like, you know what? I have the money now.
Yeah.
I can basically live
rich forever.
Forever off these royalties.
But Paul McCartney also wanted to do that, and Michael Jackson outbid him.
Wow.
That was the end.
And then he said, the girl is mine.
Didn't he, like, have no
money?
Well,
Michael Jackson spent himself into oblivion, but even when he was having money troubles, like, he just sold a portion of his Beatles music rights to Sony EMI and so to get more money. Like,
genius. Yeah. Genius move. Anyways, Planet Michael, MMO, didn't come out. Supposed to spread the word of
it's dead
peace.
When was it
dance?
Announced?
And it should be
2010, I believe.
Okay.
Shortly after June 2009.
I remember in the office the day it broke, the TMZ posted it, and we're all like, "No, TMZ's just making shit up." I haven't seen it, him pronounced dead anywhere else, or even say that he's in trouble. And then like. An hour later, CNN, all these places were like, yeah, he's dead, he's dead.
For some reason, I thought he died last year, which is why I thought this was more relevant.
Also, I'm about to try a soundboard from Michael Jackson.
Uh-huh.
So when people say the abuse, that's not true.
All right, it works.
It's not true at all.
See,
that's the most creepy way to say that.
Build a water park on the other side of this mountain so we can come in your swimsuit.
Is there a soundboard of all the
soundboards for Michael Jackson are very... poor, I've found.
You don't want to grow up.
No, I am Peter Pan.
Yeah, I expected more soundboards that are just like, hit this button and it goes, woo-hoo.
Yeah,
but there aren't those.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are
it's
all
weird,
just
right?
The sad ones.
No, I am Peter Pan. Oh, no, you're
yeah, these are all just super depressing.
Yeah,
here I'm Culkin with people on this side. Macaulay Culkin is on this side. My sister's in there. We're all just jamming the bed.
I'm unplugging this soundboard now. He made Home Alone.
That's what I hated about, like, once Michael Jackson died, everybody was like, memory wipe. Nobody remembers. We just get to remember Michael exactly as we want to remember him.
Finally, we can stop speculating about whether he raped children because he's dead now and it doesn't matter.
Can you understand why people would worry about that? Because they're ignorant. When Gavin was there, he talked about the fact that he shares your...
Number five, Plants vs. Zombies.
I really wish I could hit a button and make it go, ooh-hoo, but I can't, and that kills me inside.
It's a bad soundboard.
Shamon!
Number five, Plants vs. Zombies. So there was a zombie in the game called the Dancing Zombie. It wore the Thriller jacket, the blue and black, custom-made. I never knew that. Like... Michael Jackson owned the rights to that jacket.
Wait, I thought it was red and black. You said blue and black.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me. Red and black.
I could begin the conversation.
As the dancing zombie walks onto your lawn, he will summon four backup zombies to dance along with him. So it's a multi-lane threat that you got to deal with.
Huh. It's the first time it happened, hilarious.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was like,
a few weeks later,
I'm done with this.
Really uncomfortable.
Yeah, so Plants vs. Zombies came out before Michael Jackson died, so they did not do this on purpose. But after he died, the Michael Jackson estate learned about this cameo, if you will, and said, I don't like what you're doing up in there.
And wasn't it really quickly after his didn't he die?
No, I think it
soon
took like
after
a year for them to.
No. The game came out. I think he died a few weeks later.
Yeah.
Bad timing.
So they replaced him with a disco zombie. Same function, but, you know.
And that's the disco zombie we all know and love today.
Could be Michael Jackson.
It was funnier as the
Now you won't Michael be shooting Jackson Michael Jackson zombie. In a third-person shooter.
I think
on the next gen console.
That would be pretty crazy if that was now that was the Michael 3. Jackson zombie in the Garden Warfare.
Maybe they'll bring him back.
I know.
Somehow doubt it. Number 4, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, the arcade version. So, not a lot of people know that there was an arcade version of this game because it was crappy and I never saw an actual cabinet for it.
So, in both versions of
that
Moonwalker,
story did not go where I thought it was going to go. I don't know where I was expecting it to go.
I feel like Tom and I both should have questioned your numbering more on this list. It's just like the lower we get on the list, the more games that it's like, this game sucked and no one played it. Moving on.
Yeah. Top
and
7
defense, Michael Jackson.
I was out on Monday.
So wait, so in both versions of Moonwalker, I believe the level design isn't Michael Jackson beats people up and then he saves a child, right?
Correct. There are multiple children being saved.
Though when you
and when you save them, they go, Michael.
But then they say Michael and then run off screen.
Correct.
So technically it looks like they see Michael Jackson and go, oh shit, Michael Jackson, run.
This guy is worse than the tribe, than the guy who was trying to murder and kidnap me.
No. It's in the arcade version, you save boys and girls.
I'm starting to get the feeling that this guy's a Michael Jackson apologist.
I am. I mean, the man is...
Okay.
The man is...
That's one way to defuse the situation.
Separate the music from the man, but... Like,
but we're talking about the man right now. None of these games include his music.
Right.
Au contraire, this game had digitized versions of some of Michael Jackson's hits. And they were pretty sweet.
Moonwalker is a ridiculous movie. It's so fucking
I still have
bad.
Not seen it, but I have seen the many music videos.
It's directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, nice.
And... Star and the villain in it is Joe Pesci, who is a
Mr. Child, Big,
child abductor slash drug dealer. Sort of, and basically,
who wrote this?
I'm guessing Michael Jackson.
It's starting to feel like he wrote the villain as his his own personal inner demon.
That is the author entering himself.
There's another good Michael Jackson movie where it was like a VH1 and by good I mean bad.
Okay,
where it was a VH1 special where Michael Jackson was like this. This guy who has this cool amusement park, not amusement park, like haunted house, and he just likes kind of scary things, and the people in town were just like, and the kids liked being there at his haunted house, and then the people in town were like, no, this seems weird. This haunted house is scary. It's too scary for kids. These kids shouldn't be here. And then by the end of it, he teaches the whole town how fun scares can be and that the kids should be allowed at his house.
Is this ghosts?
You know, if we look back through time, I'm really weirded out by exactly all this stuff that's dropping.
I didn't realize how weird of a guy that guy is.
I mean,
really? I did a lot of research.
Are you seriously saying that?
I knew in this vague, ambiguous way that it's Michael Jackson vague. Is vague. Excuse you.
Vague.
How do you? How
it's
do you say
vague.
Vague. What do I say?
Bag.
Bag.
Jesus Christ!
Well, I was gonna call you out about it earlier.
I'm really happy you did.
It's a dialect.
I really. We
People
need
are
to.
Not
no, I'm from the Midwest too, and I do not say.
Also,
that.
Also, I really need listeners. If you're listening right now and you have any audio editing skills, we're gonna need some bumpers. So if you can do Tom's mispronunciation of the day with a little jingle, so we could play it, I'd really appreciate that, and we'll probably send you something.
We'll never run out. That's my favorite part.
Louis C.K. was the. It's classic. It's classic.
So, the day we get that clip in, Tom's just going to be like, fuck you guys, I'm not on the podcast anymore.
Should we move on to number 3?
I quit.
Yeah, let's
fired.
Move on. Number 3.
All right. So, yeah, we'll cover that more. Number 3, Ready to Rumble Boxing Round 2. So, Michael Jackson, the boxer, he came out swinging on this one.
Oh!
He had his own voice work for the character. Uh-huh. It was him with... a white glove on his right hand. A Obviously. White boxing glove.
I'm sorry. Just
sparkles.
Just imagine facing Michael Jackson in a fight and him taunting you.
That's the beautiful part of it.
Cause, well, I mean, he was in awesome shape. Like, he was dancing. He probably could beat you up.
It is no doubt in my mind that he would beat me in a fight. I'm weak for a man and have no pain tolerance. But I'm just saying, hearing him taunt you would be funny.
I love how you add for a man there, because it just makes it kind of sexist.
Not super sexist.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
Here's a funny thing about Michael Jackson's voice, by the way. Lisa Marie Presley, in interviews after his death, was just like, yeah, at home when no one was, when there was no, like, media around, he talked, like, in a deep voice, like, hey, Lisa Marie, how you doing? Like,
was, what?
She said it was all fake, like, his that his falsetto was fake.
Really?
That's what she said, yeah.
To oh, my God. How would literally he never slip in said. Public,
to give
though.
Him, like, a disarming kind of thing?
I guess so.
Non-threatening?
A non-threatening.
I honestly... Yeah, imagine him just talking, like, hey, kids, hey, guys. I don't mean to say
that would be crazy.
Yeah, I've heard that scary. Same thing about Gilbert Godfrey, how, like, he actually just kind of sounds like this in real life. And then it's just like the camera's always like, ow, hello!
Well,
this is what I sound like! And then it's like the cameras are off and it's like, hey, how you doing? What's up?
I cannot stand that guy.
I like that guy.
What? You like that guy?
Dude, that's like his voice is just as bad as people who say seal wheel.
So children with a lisp?
Yes.
What?
Fucking quit that shit.
Ready to Rumble was a ridiculous boxing game, too.
I actually liked that game a lot, because it had, like, training minigames that were legitimately fun.
Remember when EA tried to bring it back as Facebreaker?
Yeah, that was not.
Only good thing about that game was the you could beat up Peter Moore.
I preferred to play as...
I remember Facebreaker. I didn't realize it was pretty.
You
Shaquille O'Neal?
Michael Buffer.
Oh. And,
I mean, it was loosely.
Bill Clinton?
There are
also.
So, did he have any like special moves? Or did
yes.
He pretty
so,
much
in Ready to Rumble, taunting builds up your rumble meter, mm-hmm. and Michael Jackson could moonwalk. He could do the heel spin, mm-hmm. and he could do, oh, and then point at you, and that was all very.
I mean, I
scary.
Can technically go, oh, and point at you,
and
too.
Your rumble meter would build.
Is that where that came from? When Greg goes, oh. Or
no.
whatever he does.
He just makes weird noises.
By the way, all those,
no,
all
that
those Michael
from...
Jackson dance moves, those were ripped off of Bob Fosse.
But, who? What?
Who's Bob Fosse?
Famous Broadway director Bob Fosse of Chicago and Gigi.
Huh?
Anyway, you know? If you see the film, if you watch the live-action film of The Little Prince, Bob Fosse plays... The Little Prince? Nobody read The Little
no
Prince
idea
as a
what
kid?
That is.
It's a very famous French book.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the live-action version
it's probably
of it,
not fun to read.
It's kind of a bullshit book.
Bob Fosse plays like the snake and he dances like
it's
a snake.
It's one of those books that everybody is like, oh my God, have you read The Little Prince? It'll change your life. And it's actually just kind
no
of
one's
like
ever
a stupid little
that
bullshit book.
Anyway.
Actually, I know people with tattoos of The Little Prince.
Really?
Yeah.
Guys, if you're listening to this now, I'm telling you that we'll look up Bob Fosse, the Little right. Prince, and watch his dances. Those were done in the mid-70s before MJ did his thing. He ripped them off.
There's no moonwalk, though, right? I mean, that was all.
He basically
that's
moonwalks.
Just an impressive
actually,
human
no.
Feat.
Bob Fosse does moonwalk in the film.
I
it's a film about a man hanging out with a little child, so you know
wow.
Michael Jackson watched that film.
Yeah, he built his entire life around it.
Bob Fosse.
Yeah.
Who's your hero?
Prince. He's got that Fosse jaw. Look up Fosse jaw, by the way. That's a fun, weird thing that happens to people.
What?
Bob Fosse is also famous for jazz hands. Like, you know, when you move your hands like this.
Michael Jackson,
hands.
Not so much.
I was
much
just reading about the Hamburg jaw or the Hamburg jaw.
What's that?
What are these jaw?
Tom, explain.
Hamburg jaw is the Holy Roman Emperors. They had this. They were all inbred, so they had a giant, like Henry V. Had a giant jaw that would just like protrude this far.
Yeah.
What?
No, like a pharaoh chin?
Well, yeah, but it was a real thing.
Oh my God.
Because of all the inbreeding that the Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah, but how would you even like talk?
I mean, he was real fucked up. He had some problems. Philip the Two totally had the same thing.
The Deuce?
The Deuce. Philip the Deuce. Fucked up jaw.
Gross.
All of the inbreeding. All
right, what are we on now?
What did
number
your jaw
two.
Do?
Oh, I wanted to hear about your jaw.
So Fosse jaw is just this nasty thing that happens to people that work with white phosphorus, and it creates like a nasty abscess in their jaw, and they have to get it removed.
Ugh. Did you know that some people have hair
that's
growing
true.
On their tongue?
I have a deformed jaw.
No, not your personal jaw.
Oh, thanks.
The Hamburg jaw is better than the Fosse jaw.
Oh, Hamburger
Fosse
jaw.
Fosse jaw has a cooler name, though.
Number two, Space Channel 5,
so I'm watching
two.
Some Bob Fosse right now, and you're totally fucking right. Look at this. Look at this shit going on right here.
I want to see.
Oh boy.
Hold on. You want a second? He's doing. Look at that shit.
I'm not seeing.
Look right there.
Why is he dancing in the desert on rocks?
He's dancing in the desert on rocks.
Nah.
Dude, he just grabbed his fucking hat and did that thing that Michael Jackson's doing on the cover art for Michael Jackson The Experience.
This
Michael
is
Jackson
like
popular
this is more dainty.
Let me see.
I don't think anybody's described. Well, right now he's just freaking walking like a snake.
Oh, that's totally Bob. Yeah, no, that's Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's Bob Fosse.
It's Michael Jackson.
Anyways.
What a plagiarist.
I just watched him in this video molest 17 children. It's 100% Michael Jackson.
You watch Bob Fosse molest.
Yes.
He watches child porn.
Space Channel 5, made by Sega.
Doing research.
Dreamcast game originally.
Autobiography.
And you control Ulala, a foxy news reporter, as she dances around saving people from aliens. Michael Jackson said, "Hey, that sounds like a cool game. Sega, can I get involved in the first game?" And
yeah,
they were like,
"Sega are old buddies."
Yeah, and they were like, "Oh shucks, you know the game's too far along. We can put you in as a cameo."
And he was like, "Okay." Kind of weird that they weren't like, "Holy shit, Michael Jackson wants to be a part." And this is pre,
no,
him dying.
This is not, yeah, but this is post controversy. So they're like.
I'm just saying I find it hard to believe no matter what state Sega was in, they wouldn't be like, let's delay this shit by like 3 months to add him in more than a cameo role.
But he got much more than a cameo in part two, where he becomes the station chief of the Channel 5
Didn't
news.
They call him Prince Michael?
They call him Space Michael. And he wears a chrome jumpsuit that is just, whew, it's awesome. Yeah, his moves are in the game. His voice is also in the game. He's the only English-speaking character in the Japanese version of the game. And
do Japanese people love him?
I think so.
I know Japanese people love, like... I know, like, Japanese people are fucking obsessed with Star Wars, I've heard. Like, they are super obsessed.
They also really, really like pants that zip off above the knee.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
It is.
Weird.
Well, I think it's just the Japanese public... value style and fashion more than we do.
Also, they're always ready for an impromptu basketball game. So they just want to unzip their pants and then they can just go play basketball.
It's uncomfortable to play basketball in pants.
I do remember
it is, yeah.
Last year, the Blu-ray of... No, 2 years ago, the Blu-ray of Star Wars came out and there were ads for it everywhere when I was in Tokyo. But I don't know if that means they really
I heard that it's like as big there as it is
Star
here.
Wars.
But
great,
I mean, Michael Jackson,
great movies.
Great movie.
Michael Jackson has such like mega appeal, and like people like what Cheap Trick. If Cheap Trick can sell out Budokan in Japan,
how dare you?
Fucking A, man. I want
you
to want me.
You're like 12 years old.
Okay. Name some more songs.
Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
The Dream Police.
Oh.
I don't know the name.
I want you to want me is a big enough song that we don't have to. I mean, we could just say their own.
Oh, didn't I?
Oh, okay, I know that song.
The funny thing is they can sell out fucking Budokan, but out here I saw them like when I went back home they were fucking selling tickets for like an airbase show. Like it was like a free showing at like an airbase where it was just like come see Cheap Trick and like some like bluegrass band.
I'm pretty sure Cheap Trick did the intro for the Colbert Report.
Okay.
Cool story, Tom. Number one, Ledger Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Didn't we already?
But this is
one?
Not a duplicate, sir. This is on Genesis. So
the greatest console.
This is
ever
probably
made.
The Michael Jackson game that everyone knows and loves because it was a great game.
Yeah,
it wasn't actually a great game, but it was pretty fun considering the source material.
It was one of those Genesis games.
A pedophile.
It's one of those Genesis games you settled for.
I just thought of this really weird analog where like. Kids play Michael Jackson through video games.
He plays them in real life?
Yes.
That makes sense. Like, look, if you were a pedophile with money with no end, if you had all the money in the world and were a pedophile, wouldn't you build your own amusement park and invite children over?
No, I mean, they say the apex of human desire is deviant sexual behavior.
I've never heard that.
So I just we're going to workshop this headline. I've come up with a new headline. Lucas, can you read this?
Top 7 Michael Jackson involvements in gaming.
No. The one above that. The top 7 games where you play as a pedophile. Same story, different headline.
Traffic.
Absolutely.
Nah.
That'd have gotten the clicks, man.
All right.
Times the
here's my.
Why do you think I always make pedophilia jokes? That shit gets traffic.
Okay, Lucas, defend it.
Okay, if you had one of the worst childhoods imaginable.
Uh-huh.
He did not have one of the worst childhoods.
No.
He had a rough childhood.
Dude.
Come on.
Dude.
It was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, your dad beats you. Your brothers are like, you are scum. And you're effing up our gig.
And everyone uses you.
Yeah. And
also, your mom wants you to be a... Jehovah's Witness and stick to those rules, but you're going, yeah, it fucks with your head.
I mean, that's rough and all.
But, I mean, and shit, that's really, yes, that is
I don't
rough.
Know if there's any justification for being a pedophile.
Well, but that's the thing, like, it's not, like, it's proven, you know?
Well.
There's deniability, and maybe he was, like, so fucked in the head that he just
All you have
seems
are,
crazy.
Like, no, I 20 think people he say viewed that guy raped me.
No.
That's all you got, just 20
here's
people.
Here's what it is. It's him feeling like he needs to have a childhood. Even though he's an adult. So he tries to do that because he has infinite money. And if you're a kid with infinite money, you'd build your own theme park. Mm-hmm. Come on. Obviously.
Yeah, I suppose.
So he invites kids over. The parents are like, cha-ching, we just hit the jackpot. So they tell their kid to testify.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nah.
I mean, some of those kids identified birthmarks on his penis.
This is blaming the victim here, Lucas.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
We should move on, actually.
No. This is Dateline.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Of all of the mispronunciations, like...
How about that one where you just said mispronunciations?
Yeah. Or misheard lyrics. What's your favorite? Like, I always sing, Billie Jean is not my daughter. She's just a girl who says I am the one.
Well, that changes the meaning of the song.
I know.
Quite a bit.
I know. That's what I thought he was saying.
It's funny to think that there was a time where Michael Jackson had to write a song being like, no, I'm not going around and having promiscuous sex with a bunch of women all the time.
Right.
Like, there was a time where that was his biggest worry, was like, people might think that I have illegitimate children with women.
Right. I like that song, Leave Me Alone. That was a good one.
I always liked...
I'm talking to the man in the mirror. Ooh. There's also Dirty Diana, which I think that was a song about Diana Ross making a pass at him and him not liking that. Because he's like, I hate you, yucky.
I thought you had invented that for the League of Legends.
No.
Diana.
I was quoting Michael Jackson.
Well, I love Michael Jackson in The Wiz. Like, he's so great.
I've never seen that. Scarecrow?
He's on down the road. He's on down.
Unfamiliar with that.
I like Smooth Criminal.
But not
Smooth
Criminal.
I like the alien version.
No, boo.
That looks like it when a white person...
He does. Well, I mean, so do you guys.
So, that's the other thing. Michael Jackson, I did not know this for the longest time. He did not willingly change his skin color.
Yeah, he had vitiligo, and he was trying to match it up.
And all, like...
Is that why he got nose surgery, to make himself look more Caucasian?
He said it was for breathing.
So my ex-mother-in-law had the same skin condition. Like the pigment in your skin just goes white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he just...
And wouldn't you want
to look white?
The public eye is pointed at
you. He did a lot of other things to himself to make him look white.
Oh, I mean,
he wanted to be Peter Pan.
He just wanted to smooth it out or something.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not the skin color stuff.
What are you talking about?
He got like a bunch of facial reconstruction surgery.
Oh yeah, no, I mean he was totally.
Well, shit, rich people do that all the time.
Yeah,
his nose literally fell off when he was on trial at one point for child molestation.
I mean, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Is the game child molestation
whatsoever?
What the fuck is?
I don't even. That actually makes you sound like a pedophile.
I'm starting to think about how old Lucas was when this was all going down.
Oh, come on now.
And, I mean, I'm not going with that angle.
Ew.
I was going to say he had a different perception of the entire situation than we all did.
No, I mean, Smooth Criminal, that was like one of the craziest music videos I'd ever seen.
Thriller's one of the best songs ever.
Thriller is a good song.
Yeah, it's great. And I also, like, even his pre-Thriller stuff, like, Can't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Yeah.
And
amazing
they're great. And they're a great, like, crossover. Like, they're the... If we really want to talk about music here, it's like it's exactly what like Berry Gordy dreamed that Motown would be like the great crossover music that everyone in America could listen to, but it would definitely have soul.
Mm-hmm.
And like Michael Jackson was that. Like he was exactly that. Quincy Jones like transformed him into that. Yeah. You know? It was great.
You know who I think the real king of pop is? JT.
Justin Timberlake.
He's just doing a Michael Jackson impersonation.
No.
I mean, as long as he doesn't have sex with children, he's not doing a very good one.
I have to agree with Henry because I do fondly remember getting beat up on the playground. But in between punches, the bully and I would sing Michael Jackson.
Really?
Together. Nice. It was like a team building exercise.
That is fucked up.
I'm so confused about where that came from.
I'm bad. Ugh. Really, really bad.
Was it black and white?
It's a music that transcends, you know, personal dislikes and bad relationships.
Anyways, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
I thought you had agreed to not tell any bad jokes.
One of the best 16-bit games.
I can't
remember. You pulled up a couple good images for this of Michael Jackson posing with a guy in a Sonic costume.
Yes. So you informed me of this, Henry. So, fun factoid, Michael Jackson was going to work on Sonic the Hedgehog 3 music, but right at around that time is when the media said, let's jump on this guy.
Right.
I mean, they did that because he was having sex with children, right, Lucas. Right.
Anyways.
We'll never know.
there's rumors that he may have done some of the music anyway, just like off the record, off
Should
contract.
Should we believe those rumors and not the rumors that he had sex with kids?
I'm saying believe what you want, okay. And I'll
well,
do the same.
Here's was what I saw was dug up about it, that people who write songs for Michael Jackson wrote songs for Sonic. Like,
ho,
they
ho.
Are. So as much as Michael Jackson could have written songs for Sonic 3, he sort of did.
But it makes sense when he went through his chiptune era.
Well, that was the thing. So he made
he
a statement. He made a statement like, oh, I don't like the Genesis sound chip, which, Henry, you can...
It sucks.
you can agree with.
It's inferior. What
but
do you do?
There are some awesome photos of Michael Jackson at the Sega offices.
Don't want to see him.
Including one with Mark Cerny, which Henry showed me. It was quite amazing. I was like, whoa, that's Mark Cerny.
Mark PS4 Cerny, game. Who was working with Sonic Team
that
USA.
Mark Cerny's name is suddenly household.
Yeah.
Is
it?
It
happened. That's I mean,
hilarious.
It's household as much as...
Well...
Now it sounds like you're mispronouncing Sony. It's Mark Cerny.
Well, Mark Cerny's doing a great job at Cerny to bring about the Cerny PlayStation 4.
I think it's Kearney, isn't it?
No, it's Cerny. They say Cerny.
On The Simpsons.
Kearney on The Simpsons with a K. Well, meanwhile, remember the off-brand TVs on The Simpsons? Look, these are real. It's a magnet box and Sorny.
No, I don't remember that episode.
So I'm going to go ahead and say we should end this segment to see if there's some kind of gas leak in this room. And we will be right back with the news. Welcome back. We've lost a Tom Magrino and gained a Greg.
I sure have arrived on the scene.
I was wondering.
I'm just imagining you in a car, like veering around and trying to write so you don't just spin out.
I started that sentence and I had no idea where it was going.
Yes. Welcome, Greg. We're about to talk about the news.
Oh, good.
And there's not a lot of it. So before you know it, we'll be talking about the community segment. Let's jump into the news.
It's what have you guys been doing?
Talking about children and Michael Jackson.
Oh.
So,
oh,
got a little hot in here.
On to the news.
Pull the collar.
Atlas's parent company has filed for bankruptcy protection in Japan.
I don't
Henry,
like that.
You told me earlier that this is, it means something different than it means in America.
Just slightly, yeah, that they've, so Index Co., that's the, if you, they're the owners of Atlas, the game company, and a lot of other companies in Japan. But they apparently owe a lot of back taxes, like it's all about unreported earnings and losses for the year. And so, in Japan, it sometimes takes a while for them to catch people for tax fraud, like giant companies like that. I related it to a favorite anime company of mine that underreported sales for like 3 years, and then when the government finally caught on and like, you owe us $100 million, then they're like, but we don't have that popular show anymore. We're not making that money. The money's gone. So I don't know. Index has been in trouble for a while, but the rumor going around now is that they might just sell off Atlas Games just to cover the rest, because it is their. Like, Atlas Games is profitable. Like,
right.
They're a profitable branch of an unprofitable company, so might just get sold off. But though maybe the best solution for this is they'll just make Persona 5 Persona 4 sequel, and it'll be so popular, they'll make so much money, all their problems will
be solved. They'll fast-track it.
Yeah. I mean, they have to. Eventually, somebody has to walk in that building and being like, so whatever you guys are working on, you have to fucking stop. You
Cut
have
it out.
To make this other game that everyone wants.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe a TGS. I hope they still exist by the time TGS comes around.
That'd be nice. next story, the PlayStation 4 camera, which was confirmed to be coming with the PlayStation 4 when it was revealed, might actually no longer be coming with the PlayStation 4. Yeah. It may have been cut to make price. Ryan, good call, bad call?
I'm sorry.
Did you just step on him?
No, I ran over.
They accidentally held hands. First.
Yeah. So what I read was, I read that Sony kind of quietly told its retail partners that the camera would not be included in the retail box of the PS4. They did not mention the price cut to avoid a leak to Microsoft that they, because I think what happened was Microsoft and Sony were probably pretty sure that each other's consoles would be about the same price, and I think they what I read was they did this kind of secretly to avoid, to be able to get the advantage. I think
so. Originally, they were both going to be around, or at least like $450 and $500.
Yeah, the rumor is they were both going to be $500, and Sony pulled the camera last minute to get the $100,
which is weird because the camera is now apparently going to be selling for $60 on its own.
Yeah, so the thing is, like, you know, all this cool stuff that the controller should have let us do, like how they're talking about, like if you're playing split screen and you switch positions on the couch, the screen will shift position to, you know, kind of show what you just did on the couch. Well, I mean, that's not going to be the case anymore if you don't got the camera, because that needs that to function. So you are probably going to miss out on some cool features. And, you know, I think while this is a great move for them price-wise, of course, and it'll certainly help sell more consoles in the long run, what it does do is it kind of spells out an uncertain future for their camera. I mean,
yeah,
and people don't have to use it for anything.
I think another part of it might have been, obviously, they were probably, I mean, they probably were putting the camera in there partially to create parity with the Kinect, at least to a level. Like, hey, you're putting in voice commands, and you're in on the Kinect version. Well, you can put them in ours, too. I'm guessing this is at least in part a response to them checking with publishers and being like, so how many of you guys are actually planning on doing that stuff?
Yeah,
like, EA, are you actually planning on using the Kinect to any in any degree for the next system? And they were just like,
for the first year.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's a fine move because I would rather save the $100. I rarely really get into any kind of game that uses a camera or a Kinect. And so I'm totally cool with it.
Yeah, I feel like if the Xbox One is $500 and not $400 because it puts in a camera I don't want that is required to be watching me, like, I would rather just I don't want this. I want to opt out. I understand, like, from a standpoint, if you can assure that every system has this camera, then everybody can develop more openly for stuff. Well, but I also think, like, Sony with the move, like, did not prove the need for a move, like, even less so than, like, at least Microsoft, you know, the Kinect was not a grand slam, but they at least proved, like, you can dance with it, you can do this stuff.
Yeah,
like,
this one looks a lot better.
Yeah, and I think had Sony packaged the camera with their console and it had been on equal footing in terms of price, like, the Kinect is probably a far more
it would have been like system. Like, right now, if they both came out, people would be comparing the cameras.
Yeah,
but now it's not even like now it's like if they both came out, they'd almost like most people would have been like, all right, so they both have a camera and Sony's is worse. Now they're going to be like, well, Xbox has a camera that always watches you no matter what, and you can't unplug it, and Sony's doesn't. Like, it goes from being a negative if it does come with it to a smack against Xbox.
Yeah, and I think I think Sony really dodged a bullet by pulling this thing out last minute, if that's how that actually unfolded. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And now you can buy the Eye with knowing what it means to buy it, and, like, that's like, I would like the choice to buy a Kinect 2 and accept that, like, all right, it will be watching me. But I accept that by buying it. Like,
yeah, I think people certainly would prefer to opt in as opposed to being forced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, so. I mean, I honestly wouldn't be that shocked if Microsoft decides to change their stance. I mean, Microsoft did, during E3 or before it, say, we can't change all of, like, our system is built around all of these functions. We can't just flip a switch and change it. And then
they flip us
4 days later.
I think I don't remember who said that quote, but it was somebody at Microsoft. And right after that announcement, Larry Herb, Xbox Live's community manager, changed his Twitter profile to, like, making changes and flipping switches at Microsoft since 2003 or something like that.
Oh,
so
I think that they could at least on a system level, like, I would think they could at least on Simpsons level, a system level, be able to get rid of a Kinect requirement. Like, they could still come packed in. Like, you have to buy a Kinect 2 with your system, but maybe if they can do a patch to get rid of all the DRM stuff, then they could do a patch to say, like, to tell the system to work with a Kinect unplug.
And theoretically, they could come out with a, like, if they really wanted to, like, they're obviously it's an uphill trip for them to try to fight back against the PlayStation 4 already. Mm-hmm. If they really wanted to take another swing, they could just be like, all right, we have two SKUs. One's $400 without the Kinect. One's $500 with. You guys, like, mm-hmm. we're there, and they can still push the one with the Kinect. I mean, if you look at, I mean, historically, the better version of a console usually sells better and ends up being the primary one after a few years. I mean, the original Xbox launched without a fucking hard drive, and you needed a hard drive for it to function. So Microsoft has set a precedent to shipping their hardware without all the necessary pieces.
But they've been pushing talking to your TV so hard that I can't see them getting rid of the Kinect, because they might think that we're annoyed by the Kinect. But they're like, but middle America is going to love telling your TV to change the channels.
It's the only thing I do with my Kinect.
I know, but if they could have another version that's $100 cheaper, it would be a good thing.
Yeah, I'd use a controller.
I mean, you'd still be able to buy the Kinect one and get all that stuff. Yeah. I just feel like if they had, like, having those price points is a good thing. That right now they're $100 in the hole when it comes to that. And on that same subject...
Speaking of in the hole...
You coming on to me? Microsoft has revealed that the Xbox headset that was recently shown off, that is a different input than the one that you have with your Xbox 360, a unique one for the Xbox One, is not shipping with the Xbox One. It will not come with a headset in the box.
Right. There was news today, though, that they are working on trying to... And I wonder if this is something they'll include in the box, but a solution to be able to... Some way to be able to connect your current 360 headset to your Xbox One, even though there's
like an adapter or something.
Yeah, it sounds like they're trying to figure out some way to make an adapter. And I think even like Astro Gaming, because I mean, the big fear now is, shit, I have a $200 headset. And it's
not
all
work. Those Turtle Beach, like, spent a lot of money on this.
And this new one doesn't look any more. Like the headset that they're making is just a headset. Like, there's nothing special about it. It's just like this headset plugs into your new controller.
The only thing you'll need really is a new proprietary cable to be able to connect your headset to the actual controller, because that's just the way those function, unlike Sony's that connects via Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. And so really all Astro or any of these headset manufacturers need to do is kind of like make this new, just this one cable. But I mean, it still sucks.
Even a cable or just a little adapter. Like, it could be tiny. Yeah.
Well, I know. And I know there's Nyko, who makes a lot of like recharging bay docking products. They are working on an adapter. So like, I think you will be able to use these headsets. It's just, you're going to have to still pay out 10 or 15 bucks for an adapter or a cord.
Though I'm sort of okay with them ditching the Xbox 360 headset, because that thing is a piece of shit that breaks real
so
quick.
Easy.
How much of your games do you spend just like, hold on, I just got to unplug it? Plug it. Like, there's no reason this should
tweaking
fix
it.
It. Yeah, just
bit.
Slowly
yeah.
spinning it to get rid of the crackling noise.
The new one looks a bit nicer, but I'll be curious to see how, if it's any sturdier.
But I mean, so
they're just pushing everybody to use the Kinect.
Yeah, you can probably just use your Kinect.
They
just
absolutely
want
can. Like, that's all they want you to use the Kinect for. Which is fine for me, but there are times when, you know, Hillary's there, and I don't want her hearing the 14-year-old boys screaming about how they're going to, you know, find me and kill me.
Or I like the idea
of F you in the A.
Yeah.
They're going to F you in the A, N-word.
Exactly.
Oh, they're going to fan you.
Maybe they don't. Maybe you don't want
Nigel.
That blasting out of your television at home.
Maybe I just want that in my earphone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe since Xbox Live is full of disgusting monsters. maybe.
Well, let's be fair. The whole internet is full of disgusting monsters.
Yeah, I think it's not fair to characterize Xbox Live as being the only place with horrible children that yell obscenities at you. It's just more popular than PSN,
the PlayStation,
it's the cream of the crop of the little shits.
The PlayStation Network might be full of people that would curse at me, but since they don't own Bluetooth headsets, I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that's the key.
But I feel like,
there.
I mean, you can look back historically at the Xbox, I mean, obviously the PlayStation Network was inferior to Xbox Live in terms of just infrastructure and communications, but even when you got into a game on the PlayStation Network, there were far fewer people talking because you have to just have an extra headset when compared to on the Xbox, especially in like Call of Duty, half people in that game are talking to you.
Yeah.
And for any game that requires any sort of team structure.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the PlayStation is coming with the one and they are not coming with at least a regular one built in It's just another point for Sony in this case.
Is Sony packaging a headset?
Yes, I'm pretty sure they said they are. I think it'll still use Bluetooth, but the controller
isn't
it does.
An earbud one, too. Like
I don't really recall. I'd have
I think
to,
I saw a picture of it.
I think it does come with one, but I think that it might have a microphone built into the controller too, or something.
Where you I'm might not just sure of this.
I'm gonna blindly say that I think that it just has essentially a headphone jack in the controller, and you could just use.
Yes,
does that sound like right? Like you can just plug in headphones, and the controller has a microphone in it, or something like that.
Okay. Well,
I'm not 100% sure. I could be so wrong.
We'll find out. That's a cool idea, though.
Well, we need to remember this for corrections if we have to do corrections.
I could also just look it up right now while you guys fill time. Fill time. Go, go, go.
Take a look.
I mean, actually have some kind of...
so fucking hot in here.
It is really hot.
I could take... No, never mind.
No, all right,
take your shirt off.
Yeah, no.
I'd only get hotter.
I would say. Yeah.
Trust me, you wouldn't.
Keep going, like another minute. Go, go, go.
All right. Well, also, Microsoft, like, do you want to like shout at your Kinect 2 to say, like, go over there, guys, shoot them. Shoot the guys.
I suspect you wouldn't have to shout very loud.
And they said they upped the sensitivity of the microphone to be able to drown out background noise and like hone in on your voice.
Yeah, so which is
a problem that I had with the first Kinect because I would be playing, and I wouldn't have the, you know, I'd use the mic from the Kinect to talk to my people.
Sure.
And my people.
my
friends.
My peeps.
But
Shaggy would say.
They wouldn't be able to, they could only hear, like, the gunfire noise that's coming out of my TV because it couldn't hone in on me specifically. So if they're upping that.
So the Kinect's very good at listening to you, huh?
Oh, for, God.
thanks, Obama.
So it doesn't look like it's a regular headphone jack, so I was wrong with that, but they have confirmed that it's coming with a headset.
Okay.
So, and it plugs right into the controller.
So we're both right in.
More brownie points for Sony, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's it for news. Does anyone else know of any other news stuff that happened?
Excuse me.
No. I can tell a fun story that we're not going to post an article about, but you guys can spread it around if you want.
Okay.
Let's give it a shot.
So when I was at E3, I was overheard someone who works at Obsidian talking and probably louder than this person should have been talking.
Go on.
About how the company, how Obsidian pitched Bethesda on Fallout 4.
Really?
And they were turned down. So Obsidian, people Fallout who made Online. Fallout New Vegas, pitched Fallout 4 to Bethesda, but Bethesda said no.
Bethesda said nay.
Yeah.
Maybe they just wanted to do Fallout 4.
Maybe that's probably what it is, but it was still interesting. The person also mentioned that one of the reasons they went after it was because of the positive reception from New Vegas, which it did get a lot of positive reception. But
and it wasn't broken.
Yes.
It was a very good game.
Yes.
Lucas, you uttered the words Fallout Online, and that made me very sad. I really hope that's not what happens.
It's no way. Definitely not going
to exist. Bethesda only got the rights to Fallout Online so no one would make it. That's why they got it.
Did they end up getting it in the end?
Yeah.
Interplay was still fighting them for it.
They lost. They lost, and they got the Bethesda got the rights to that, too. Basically, it's just so no one can make it then.
It'd be the worst game ever.
It could be. No, it won't be.
What do we call that in the Magic draft? Hate drafting?
Yeah.
They hate drafted Magic Online? Or Fallout Online?
Yeah.
That's funny. It's
pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's it for news. And we'll be right back with some reviews. We actually have a few reviews and the community segment, so stay tuned. And welcome back to segment 3 of Radio Radar, episode 44. Can you believe it's been that long?
Believe that. No, I'm sorry. God damn it. I cannot say I'm done talking for the rest of my life.
Henry, you've been playing New Super Luigi U.
Yeah, I sure have. New Super Luigi U is a combo of DLC slash a whole new game from the Nintendo games. Right now you need new Mario U to play it.
You think they'll drop that restriction eventually?
Well, in August you'll be able to buy a disc of it just by itself, and it'll just play the Luigi game. So it's the entire map of Mario U, but each stage has been completely redone to be half the size and twice as stressful.
Oh,
like,
good.
You are given 100 seconds yeah, max
exactly
to run through. There's no checkpoint, so it's just you got to do it right the first time. And, like, you have limited lives. Like, you will have to continue in this game, which I don't think I've ever done in a new Mario game. And when you continue, that means that you have to go back to the last time you saved, which is probably when you beat a mid-boss or a boss. So
why are they doing this?
Because
I'm playing Donkey Kong right now, and I'm ready to break
honestly,
his half.
I'm gonna estimate that this is still not half as difficult as Donkey Kong.
I don't think it's as frustrating as Donkey Kong because, like, each stage is just like, like, you will play it for a minute, a stage. Like,
well, Mario
just
has even less life than Donkey Kong does.
Yeah, you can really, like,
you can only get hit twice.
You
right?
get, well,
Donkey Kong
if you
can
don't
get hit, like, six times because he's got Diddy Kong on his back, and I'm still fucking going crazy.
We've had this discussion. That's because that game sucks, and Rare is Retro is bullshit now.
They're a shell of their former self.
Yeah. They're a garbage company that makes shitty games. That's all.
Wow.
That's as simple as it is.
But, yeah, it kind of reminds me of, you know, Super Meatball. Or N plus almost not as crazy as those, but like definitely they have it laid out like, oh, we know you want to 90% of you are going to jump there, so here's an enemy right there. Like, and it I wonder if it's because they had just been told like new Mario games are so easy, these are made for babies.
You guys don't have it anymore.
Did Ryan tell them that?
No, I don't like babies.
And you do like Mario.
I do.
Do you like Baby Mario?
Yeah, I was okay with Baby Mario.
Did you ever beat Yoshi's?
I did.
Good ending, right?
Yeah, it was cool.
Good game.
Spoilers.
Good times.
Did you watch that Conan O'Brien thing where the guy from Mario, or Conan O'Brien was at E3?
Oh, he interviewed Miyamoto?
He interviewed Miyamoto, but that was a short little segment. But he also did this like 5-minute thing where he went around E3.
No, I haven't watched
that yet.
And
he talked to the guy that does Mario's voice.
Oh, shit.
And he made him look like such a fool. Oh. I felt so bad for the guy.
Well, Charles Martinet is like, he's an old man. Like, he's an old man who's kind of famous for one thing. He's like those people you meet at Comic-Con or like, hey, I was guy number 3 in Star Trek.
Totally. Everyone else at E3 was eating it up. Like, he's doing the voices and everyone's loving it. And then he's talking to Conan O'Brien, and Conan O'Brien's like, you have to stop. Like, you're ruining your life. You need to stop. And he's like, oh, but the princess. And he's like, no, seriously, dude, you got to stop. It crushed my soul. I felt so bad for the guy.
I could never say that to Charles Martin.
When I was at Comic-Con last year, I was walking around because that convention is like depressing after the first day, and I was just walking around trying to find anything related to Darkwing Duck to buy, mm-hmm. and I overhear somebody's like, hey, come get a signature from me. I voiced a character on Darkwing Duck. And I was like, yes.
What?
Ran over, and she's just like, I voiced the Muddlefoot neighbor. And I'm like, ugh, seriously? That's what you're bringing to this conversation? She's like, you want to spend $8 on a signature? I'm like, no, I don't. I really don't.
And then he did.
All of my money.
That's bad.
I'll take 30, please.
Sorry to Shanghai your story.
Oh, so are they basically saying that Luigi is superior to Mario if you can handle the hard stuff?
I suppose so, yeah.
My God.
Well, they do make it easier in the way that Luigi can, he's got his flutter jump, so if you hold down the jump button, you'll jump farther. Like, that saved me several times where I was like, all right, time for a blind jump towards where I think the flagpole is. Oh, shit, it's way farther. Hold down, flutter jump. And then also, I don't know if you guys know this, in a higher level Mario, new Mario play, you hit the spin button and you like spin you do a quick little spin and it gives you slightly more air. And so that saved me a few times. But then there's Nabbit.
Nabbit is
the whole thing.
Dang,
fucking asshole.
Nabbit.
I fucking hate Nabbit played it.
As a single player game, where you play as Luigi, I think it's really good, and I think that's what it was meant to be. But they had to tack on multiplayer, but so they said no Mario's in this game. You will not see Mario. So,
do they ever explain where he is?
No, just at the opening, like you see his where he would have been sitting in the opening cinematic, which is the exact same except without Mario. His hat is sitting there. And
what the fuck hat? Is he dead?
He's taking a shower, probably.
He's just taking a shit.
And so
he took his hat off because he knows it's going to be like, you know how if you're taking a really bad shit, you take your shirt off because it's like, I need to.
It's going
to
be a stinker.
Yeah,
I've never done that.
Added,
Clinger.
So they added Nabbit, the rabbit guy that steals shit from you in New Mario U. And his thing is, he cannot take damage. Like, he does not. You can fall in a bottomless pit and die as him, but he takes no damage
from like spikes.
From spikes or from enemies. Like he's
immortal.
He's immortal, so he's just the person you hand to. Like, oh, you don't know how to play Mario here. You can still enjoy this. Like, I just hate that that it's been such a stupid compromise that all these Mario games have had. Like, well, what if someone who's awful wants to play Mario? We shouldn't be against them. Like, yeah, you should. They suck.
And my issue with Nabbit when I played at the at E3 was so if you're playing two player, because they made the game so much more difficult, and because multiplayer in a 2D platformer is already like on the verge of barely functioning.
So there is collision detection.
No, there is, but yes. That's not even the issue. It's when if you in that kind of an experience, when everything's moving so hectically and there's two or three people playing and you look and you make a blind jump, you don't necessarily always have time to look for a platform when there's other players on the screen, mm-hmm. and you'll often just look for where your teammates are. But because Nabbit can stand on spikes or next to an enemy that's walking through him, it ends up giving you, like, incorrect information and making it super difficult for the player that's not playing as Nabbit.
No, that totally makes sense. I can see that being a problem.
But yeah, it is still fun. I like the extra challenge of the Luigi stages, but it's a $20 download, and also I have to say the downloading stuff on the Wii U turned out to be really stupid. Like, I went to the store, I tried to download it, and they're like, oh, you need to update New Mario U first. Alright. 10 minutes later, updated. Download. Oh, you don't have enough space. But this says 700. Yeah. This says it's 700 megs, and I have like 1.4 gigs left on my hard drive on the system. There's still it should be space.
That.
And they're like, no, you need double space because you have to have you download the install file and then they install it. So you have to have double the space of what anything is you download on the Wii U.
Oh my god!
Ugh. And I had to clear out shit. And then I downloaded it and finished downloading.
And every
thought,
so often you glared over at the portable hard drive you bought specifically to use for your Wii U that you could have set up at any point.
Then the next day I set it up.
I'm not even making a joke. I know this exists in Henry's apartment.
Well, so then once it finally downloads, I'm like, all right, time to start it up. Install. And the install takes 20 minutes. Like,
what is this, the PS3?
Sounds like it.
So, but yeah, download it if you want more Mario.
Does it almost, you know how like some recent Mario games have been super easy until the end, and then there's like 20 levels that are crazy difficult?
Yeah.
Is this essentially that for New Super Mario Brothers?
I think it's difficult the whole time.
I mean, so New Super Mario Brothers U was good, but didn't have that.
It never had. No,
so, do
never,
you think that this is almost that?
You know what I think it is.
Like,
yeah,
if you're a fan,
these are the pro level stages they thought up. Yes,
awesome. And are there stars or coins you're collecting to unlock more stuff? Even?
Yeah, but good luck getting those coins. Once again, like, there's no there's no checkpoint in the stage, and you usually don't have enough lives, so it's really risky to get coins. I've been missing a lot of coins.
You?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy. All right, so another review. Deadpool came out this week. I played through it and beat it. I know you live streamed it.
I sure did.
Good game, right?
Great game.
Really
Very
fucking
enjoyable.
Fun.
Super funny.
I was really worried because they talked about it a bunch and then they kind of went silent.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that impressed by the initial trailer because it just had like that look of sort of like a thrown together game. But it ended up being it knows its audience mm-hmm. better than almost any game I've ever played. And executed really well. I mean, it's a third person shooter hack and slash kind of game. You're just going around and cutting up enemies, but about half of the game is just filled with really genuinely funny comedy.
Yeah, and even in places you wouldn't expect to find comedy, just like in button prompts that are just like press X to jump the fuck over there.
Yeah, you know, or like there's a time where you have to you break a computer and it just says like at the bottom of the screen instead of just saying hit A, it just goes like shit, try hitting the A button, and you hit it and then it's just like fuck, that didn't work, try X.
Yeah.
And then you hit that and then it's just like I don't know, hit these, and then it's just like 80 buttons in a row, and it's just you just start hitting them and he's just like pounding the computer. Like, it actually makes it. I was worried that it was going to be like super referential to comics and breaking the fourth wall in general, but not doing it to gaming.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually does a really good job of just like it knows it's a video game as much as Deadpool knows he's in a comic book. And he makes fun of gaming as much as he makes fun of typically being in a comic
now,
book.
No, I'm curious. I know you mentioned before that you were also nervous that it would, before you were playing it, that it would potentially use fourth wall to, like, also acknowledge just shitty mechanics.
Yeah, so, like, Eat Lead, the return of Matt Hazard, did that all the time. And in this game, I think it only does it once, really early in the game. Mm. There's a part where it's just, like, an enemy is like hypnotizing you or like making you dizzy, and he's just like, I have to turn off a switch. I have to turn this off. I hope there are two conveniently nearby switches to hit. And you, that's exact like typical video game trope. That's what it is. But I think that's like the only time that happens. And it happens, and it's over in like a minute.
Mm-hmm. Cool. The bosses are a little lame.
The bosses are terrible. Yeah. The bosses are really bad. The video review does a good job of showing it off, because there's just this boss that's just like, he's this big, awesome boss, and Deadpool makes a bunch of funny jokes, and then he jumps into the arena, and then you just strafe and shoot him in the head for like 3 minutes, and
pretty
then
nice.
He dies.
Yuck.
Though it's usually, I mean, there's usually a really funny scene beforehand and a really funny scene afterwards,
yeah.
And it just ends up sort of making up for the lackluster boss battle.
What I was shocked by is the amount of just little quips, you know, while he's just shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever heard him say the same thing twice.
By the end, he does start repeating, but there are so many, and some of them are so unrelated to what's... There's one time where I was just running around and cutting people up, and one of the voices in his head just goes, what if your name was Dick? And that's all it says. just completely randomly. I was also surprised at how vulgar it is.
Yeah.
It's really, like, there's a boss, there's a hot chick he hits on,
mm-hmm.
and then you fight the boss battle, and she falls and gets impaled on a piece of rebar that goes the entire way through her Jesus. Chest, and he just looks over and goes, like, honey, the pipe I was offering you was much more comfortable than that one.
And then he tweaks her nipples from far away.
Yeah, he just kind of, like, squints.
Well, yeah, it's like he doesn't actually touch her, but it's like, you know, kids in the hall where it's like, I'm crushing your head, I'm crushing your head.
Yeah. He does that. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then he looks up and he's impaled on a spike as well, and he's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And they take good
advantage of the fact that he can't die, really. Like, there's just funny scenes where, like, an arm will get blown off and he has to go get it. Like, random stuff like that.
And when you... And, like, the gore and everything, too. Like, it's in, like, in that Wolverine game where you're getting shot and you can see, like, organs and bones and stuff like that.
You can see his rib cage and then it slowly heals back.
Oh, that's really
But
cool.
when you actually do, quote-unquote, die, like, you go to the death screen and he's standing there just, like, half of his face is, like, connected and just bloody and guts.
And I think
and
that almost... That might be a reference... I think that's a reference to a... The Arkham games, because if you lose to a boss in the Arkham games, that boss, like, in a room, like, says something to you and then turns off a light.
Yeah.
And he actually does, like, the same. He's just like, really, man? You suck that much?
Yeah.
And there's also, like, it can't directly reference Batman because it's not owned by the same company, but it has the Batman button prompt counters.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do them, it does the old school, like, blow, bow, sound effects from the 1950s and 60s Batman.
Those are good.
Which is such a good way of referencing it.
Mm-hmm.
The combat's good. It's not great.
I felt like the counters didn't do much. Like, I didn't feel like I was countering. I felt just like I was attacking it.
You were stopping them from hitting you.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And,
It feels like it could have been a little tighter. I feel like they should have made
it... Using the hammers is fun.
Yeah, I feel
like... There's a good variety of weapons.
Yeah, I feel like they should have made all of his weapons flow together more, sort of like DMC style, where you could, like... Be shooting somebody and then switch to your other gun mid shooting, and then in DMC you're like hitting somebody with one melee weapon and you just hit a button and then like mid combo he switches to another. That would have been a cool way to do it, because I really didn't find myself using anything other than his swords that much.
Mm. The pistols were pretty OP when you leveled them up.
All the ranged weapons are totally broken.
Yeah,
but it's a really really fun game, and it's the price is dropping rapidly.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
So I'm going to recommend you wait until it's like $30 or $20, which I don't think is going to be very long because it's one of those games.
$39.99
on Steam. But you should definitely play it. It's really fun. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
That's right.
So be sure
to check it out. 3.5 tacos out of 5 tacos.
Yes. That's tacos, the exact amount of tacos.
Burritos. Burritos.
Speaking of tacos and burritos,
the Lucas.
You reviewed the Ouya.
I did. The Ouya, as it's pronounced.
Ouya.
Not Ouya. Not
Ouya.
Henry, you should have done the jingle for them. They would have sold like hotcakes. But so this is a $99 console that was kickstarted, and it's sort of regarded as the indie console because a lot of the games on there are Indian origin.
And the system itself
the system itself is sort of an up-and-comer.
Yeah, indie just means you don't have a publisher, and this doesn't have a big company backing it. Just like Super Meat Boy is indie, the Ouya itself is indie.
Everyone said it couldn't be done, and it happened.
And even, like, I mean, we'll get to
it's
your
the
official
size
verdict.
Of the crushed soda
yeah,
can.
We'll get to your official verdict, but I mean, there are, like, Ben Kuchera from the Penny Arcade Report was just fucking hating on this originally. Wrote so many articles when it was first announced about, like, it's a scam, it's bullshit, it can't be done, and whether or not it's a total success, even he had to go back and he's now like, yeah, it functions. And I was wrong about a lot of things.
He has the Ben Kuchera's playlist.
Yes, which I think it's just interesting that whether or not, we'll get into whether or not it's good, but it does what it said it was going to do for the price, approximately when it was supposed to.
it's this telephone in a box.
Hold on. So it's a box. It's about the size...
A tiny box.
Of a...
Half the size of a soda can.
It's yeah. The size of an apple.
They said grapefruit.
They said Rubik's Cube.
Because apple was too close to
grapefruit's
to
too
iPad.
Big.
Okay.
Like Rubik's Cube
Rubik's
is correct.
Yeah. Rubik's Cube. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and it's just all a bunch of ports
it's
in the back.
It's a Tegra NVIDIA processor. Quad-core, which sounds beefy. It's got a gig of RAM. Xbox 360, only 512. But
that 512 gigs and megs of RAM in that Xbox 360 has held back this generation so much. It's ridiculous.
Well, they almost put 256 in it. They only did 512 because Epic was like, dude, Gears is not going to work on this. You gotta.
RAM is so cheap. Stop skimping on this.
It wasn't back then.
But
it's still cheap enough.
Basically, what you can do on this console, all the games are free to try, that is, because you can download anything you see on the store and play a level or two, usually. And past that, you got to pay money, much like a cell phone game, to unlock the rest of the content. But
much like one.
Yeah, almost exactly like one. And because it runs on the Android software, there are many, many, many Android games that made it to the Ouya.
Even if an Android game that you like didn't make it to the Ouya, you can sideload in the Google Play Store and just buy them through that. Like, you can pretty much any. This is an Android. It's just like it would be as if, like, let's say the Xbox One was literally running Windows 8 with a skin over it. You could just theoretically, you could just install games on it.
That'd be sweet. But it's not just indie games. You can also get. So basically, the Ouya advertising markets it as a hackable system. So if you want to make it on the system, you can. So what a lot of people did is just make emulators, because that's what people do in their spare time. So you can get emulators for, I'm not going to remember the whole list, but it's N64, Super Nintendo, Genesis, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance.
The whole list.
Yada, yada, yada. Lots of stuff.
Pretty much everything from N64 below, and yeah, mostly Nintendo.
They had Neo Geo Pocket Color, for God's sakes.
Wow.
And there are no games included because...
Well, that's not true.
Sorry, no licensed games, or real games, I guess I should say, but there are homebrew games included.
People have sort of made, like, if I was developing for an NES, this is the game I would make, and then they packed it in with, like, released it for free with those emulators. So, A, you can see how the emulator works, and B, some of those games are super fun.
Yeah,
the one
Streamers
that's essentially,
is amazing.
One of the one that's essentially Bionic Commando is significantly better than Bionic Commando.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, by a good margin.
It really, really is. And then you can also, so people were asking me about this, you can't do, like, Hulu or Netflix or anything like that yet, but there is a Twitch TV app built right in, and it works pretty darn well. Like, you could stream anything you could stream on your computer, on your TV.
And if you sideload in the Android store, you can download Netflix and Hulu.
What?
And I'm pretty sure you're allowed to do whatever you want with the box. Yeah. They're not being protective.
Yeah.
Though I've heard that they don't work great yet. But they'll probably be releasing a Netflix thing. It's like a why not at this point.
Hmm. So that's everything that Ouya can do. Now let's talk about the negatives. The games, 90% of them are terrible.
Garbage.
Terrible. So bad.
Probably higher than 90%.
Is that just the problem with an app store?
I was going to say, if you look at the Android or the iPhone store, it's probably 99% horrible and 1%.
The reason why that is because, like, with indie stuff, there's very little risk. So you might as well just churn out as much as you can and just hope something sticks. But what ends up happening is the stuff that's actually good is buried underneath all this just garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there, and it looks like they're working to try to make, like you said, they have playlists recommended by people. So they're working to help surface things. But in the early stages, it's still hard to tell the difference between an amazing game you've never heard of and a shitty game you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm. That's what almost killed the industry in the early 80s. Same problem.
Didn't like it. Another problem is that the games that feel like they should run well can often be some of the laggiest things you've ever seen. Like, there's a Ouya console exclusive Chrono Blade. It's a beat 'em up. Looks pretty okay. Pretty okay. Then you start playing it, and it, like, locks up if there's five enemies on the screen. Like, oof, that's just insane.
That's rough.
Other games, you'll rotate the analog sticks, woof, and woof, and there'll be like a full second delay of you moving the stick and the movement on screen actually happening.
And this isn't necessarily related to the delay with the controller that was initially reported in the Kickstarter units. This is its own. This is by games.
Yeah,
like this when it first came out, the controller had like a millisecond lag that was noticeable. But that part has been fixed. Mm-hmm. But game to game, some games still don't work.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the controller?
So let's talk about the controller. The controller is not good. It is not the worst because, you know, it's basically like an uncomfortable Xbox controller. It's wireless. You
imagine if the Xbox 360 controller wasn't great.
Yeah. Even more so.
It feels pretty cheap.
It feels cheap, and the problem is to power it up, you gotta remove the faceplate, like,
what?
All the time. So it feels like you're, like, gonna scratch off the plastic and just tear it apart. Not a good feeling when, you know, you have a controller that you want to last a very long time. Want to
use this controller? Tear it open and get it started.
It has a touchpad in the middle, but it's just used for the, like, the most bizarre
thing. You fucking hate that touchpad. I don't mind it, and you hate it.
Well, it's because, like, there are games where you're on the menu, you're pressing all the directions, all the buttons, nothing's happening, and you're like, oh, I have to move my thumb to the middle of the pad?
I kind of think that is a symptom of a larger problem with the Ouya, where I think that the people who made it need to establish some ground rules, where it's like, I mean, not that they have to dictate how your game works, but they need to be like, listen, your menu needs to be operatable by this. Mm-hmm. This is what the face buttons look like. Don't mess up the colors. Like, X should be the button that hits yes on this screen. Like, they need to get those ground rules out, because it's a free-for-all, and it makes for a confusing store, and every game has its own. You have to relearn the controls all the time.
It's the same problem that if you look at things like PowerA's MOGA controller, which is those mobile Bluetooth controllers that they make to hook up to your tablets and your smartphones. The reason those have proprietary software libraries that you have to go through to play the games is just because a lot of the games made for phones and tablets, of course they don't have controller support because they're made for phones and tablets. So it's like, because those are put straight into the Ouya as is, without that touchpad you would not even be able to access
it. But the thing is, there aren't any games that I've seen on the Ouya that don't work with buttons. They were all made to function with the controller. It's just that some developers were like, oh, yeah, you can just navigate with the touchscreen before you get into the game and then use the analog sticks. Or some developers were like, oh, yeah, let's just make it so the bottom button is okay. And then other developers are like, the button on the right is okay. Like, it's this kind of thing that, like, Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo would just not let through, not because it sucks, but just because it creates a confusing experience. Yeah. And despite trying to keep everything open, these are some ground rules that you're allowed to set.
Yeah,
I think. You're allowed to be like, no, you need to get this basic stuff underway.
Now, there was one cool use of the touchpad I've seen so far. In Saturday Morning RPG, you have scratch and sniff stickers that you sniff before each fight, and you got to rub your thumb real quick over that touchpad.
End of the day, what'd you think about the Ouya?
So, I do not recommend that you buy an Ouya right now, because if you have a PC or a smartphone, there's a good chance you can play the kind of games that the Ouya has to offer. That said, if you want to emulate games on your TV, or you want to watch Twitch streams on your TV, which I have done and it's glorious, like watching a whole StarCraft tournament, heck yeah, then this might be an okay investment. And it's probably going to get better, but we can't, you know, we can't see the future.
It can't necessarily get worse. I mean, it can't. There's no, not like they're going to start deleting stuff.
The Twitch app on 360 works real well, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, no, if you're going to get an Xbox One, then you probably want to go with that Twitch app instead.
That said, it's $100. If you I have some friends who just their PC shits, it just sucks. So they're like, I kind of want to play some indie games. It's an option.
Yeah.
And I was actually talking about this earlier today. It seems like a really good option for kids, because when you're a kid and you have a crappy game, you still can get mileage out of it just because like that's all you have access to. So this game would let kids explore a huge library, and because they're all free to download, they could just try however they like. And they could probably get more fun out of these games than people like us that are just used to, you know, AAA titles and indie games.
Or if it's only $40 more than a normal game costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
true. Or if you have a guest room. Or like it's the same way people buy I guess I get a Roku and put it in my beach house. Like it's essentially it could be that except for video games.
Right.
So we're gonna keep up on the Ouya. We're gonna every few months we'll check in and see how it's progressing.
And there are good games on it, which you can find a list of on the site.
Yes. How many are you up? You think you can get to 20 games worth getting?
Worth getting? Unsure. Worthwhile? Yeah.
How? What?
I mean, did you write the FAQ on the Xbox One website, Lucas?
You need the internet. You don't need the internet connection.
It's real simple, you guys. So, on to the community segment.
Community
segment. You were born for this moment, Greg.
Yes. I wish I had a little jingle that I could play or something.
Here, I'll can't count the reason.
What is that stupid phone saying every time it rings?
Oh, something, something's operator, something like that. Oh,
so, if you guys want to make a jingle for our community segment, we offered earlier... Tom mispronounces things.
Oh man, a collage of his.
Yeah, no, we asked people to make a jingle we can play whenever he does it. So if you want to make a jingle for our community segment, I'm sure we have something to give you.
I've got something awesome that I've been holding on to for a long time.
And you got a big addition to the giveaway pile.
That's true. A lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, so we got some stuff to give away, and make us some jingles we can play throughout the show for different bits that either we do or you'd like to see us do.
Yeah, totally. All right,
I can't count the reasons I should stay one. One by one, they all just fade away.
Aww. Community segment. All right, last week's question of the week was, what game were you expecting and hoping to see at E3 that was a major no-show? Top of the list, we have John Dagger says, I was hoping to see the next installment of Deus Ex franchise at E3. Since the Human Defiance trademarked by Square Enix, I've been hoping to see another game in the line of the Human Revolution.
Super weird about that whole thing.
Yeah, they should not have hyped that up.
But that's the thing. Human Defiance wasn't... I don't think that's the cell phone game. Isn't that something else?
No, I can't remember what that cell phone game is.
I think it ended up being the cell phone
game. I don't... Okay.
I mean, you have a cell phone on you.
I'm going to look.
We'll come back to that. Dave Goose says,
Goose.
You're a rude goose.
I
just Googled Dave Goose instead of Dave Sex.
But there have been some Mass Effect 4 rumblings lately, and I was hoping to see it.
Come on, they barely could show Dragon.
That's a ways out.
They could barely show Dragon Age 3.
Like, I mean, they barely showed Battlefront. It was a tease. But it was awesome.
I mean...
You heard Battlefield when he said that. You meant, right? No,
it's what the goose wanted to see. All right,
Battlefront. Why would you bring Battlefront up?
Because it's like 2 years away still, probably.
I'm talking about.
I'm confused.
A new Mass Effect could be 2 years
away.
They could
give us Battlefront in E3.
Did he really like that sword right by you? All right.
I was right. Deus Ex The Fall is the iPhone game.
Oh.
Human Defiance is the thing that they trademarked, and everyone was like, it's either a movie or it's the next game, and then they revealed it as like an April Fool's joke, and they said like, once we get like 150,000 people on our Facebook page, then we have an announcement to make, and I don't think they ever hit that mark.
I can
and
direct
the rumor,
to somebody that can
the rumor was like, once they get to that mark, they'll unveil the real game, but I don't think they ever got there.
Yeah.
So the game is still not.
Can I make a dig at our own website?
No, you can't.
I'd rather you not.
Super Giraffe says, the new Metroid game would have been cool, but they may be a little worried because other M, though.
Yeah. I mean, you're essentially getting a new Metroid game, except it's a new Batman game instead. The Batman...
Blackgate
that's being made plays like a Metroid game, except with Batman's combat.
And it's made by the guys who made Metroid Prime.
I heard something.
I said it's made by the guys.
Are you outing an entire company, Henry?
Oh, man.
It's made by
the very strange hiring
I'm
procedures.
Glad I wasn't the only one that thought I heard what I thought
it's
I heard.
It's made by the guys.
Listen, it's been a
G-A-Z-E.
Big week.
It has been a big week. Lurkero says,
for the guys.
I was really hoping that Retro Studios is working on a Star Fox adventure game for Wii U or 3DS. After seeing Retro do so well with Metroid and Donkey Kong, I was hoping they would move on to another Nintendo franchise. Another DK game feels unnecessary right now.
Did they ask... Did he say he wants to do Star Fox Adventures?
Yes.
That's the only person to ask for that.
Working on a Star Fox Adventure game.
That doesn't have to involve dinosaurs.
Well, dinosaurs were the least of Star Fox Adventures' problems.
Yeah.
Gave us... what's her name?
Crystal.
And it also gave us... what was the name of the fruit you were collecting?
Clementine. I stopped that joke halfway through, but it's still too far.
It was like Gizmodats or some shit like that.
I do not remember. But
I wish I were dead.
Now you look, it seems so obvious they'd make another Donkey Kong 100 because it's easy to make, relatively simple to make than a new game. And then on top of that, like the Donkey Kong 100 Returns did sell like 6 million copies.
Yeah, and then if it does well, it's a 3DS game.
Also, it's funny that they announced that thing like. And Dixie Kong is in it, but she's not playable at the E3, but she's in the game. And then Nintendo, it seemed like they were trying to... They didn't say they were doing it because of all the talk about women in games lately, but they said, like, we have three games here that have a female protagonist in it. They have Bayonetta, New Super Mario 3D World, and Donkey Kong Country Returns. We're putting ladies first.
I mean, realistically, that's the most of any booth at E3. Let's give credit where credit's due.
That might be true. I don't know how many women...
Oh, they had...
No.
Seriously.
All right. Sony had Transistor.
Are you not talking about the girls that were out front of the booths?
We're not talking about
booths.
We're
booth talking games.
About
in-game. Oh. Sony had Transistor, and that's it.
Beyond.
Okay.
And...
Come on, Lucas, one more.
Ah, shiz.
Last of Us. That's not... Wasn't there.
No, it was there.
Yeah, it was there. And I said to the stupid
and people were
like,
the day before it comes out, there was a huge line for Last of Us.
I mean, that's because half of E3 is like GameStop associate managers and the children of like PR people's cousins.
There were six setups.
Six Sigma.
For Last of Us. All right, moving on.
Do you know how many setups Octodad had?
One.
Two.
Eight.
Really?
I heard that somewhere.
I don't think that's true.
I don't.
That's
no, they, I think they have like three, and I played that.
I'm not making a joke. I read that somewhere.
Eight legs like a spider and an octopus.
Like a spider.
Moving on. Chaotic Genius says, and to answer the question of the week, if you think about it, there was not a playable demo. Actually, nothing really on GTA 5. Saints Row 4 had a playable demo, but nope, GTA 5 was a no-show.
GTAV.
I mean, that's not really surprising.
You shouldn't have expected
them
to be
there. He was shocked.
I'm surprised that there wasn't something at one of the press conferences. It feels like
the exclusive PS3 bundle of GTA 5 that comes with a special headset.
I love that Sony thinks that that's a lever to pull.
Yeah.
Like every time a new game's coming out, it's like, also, remember me? There's going to be a bundle of the PlayStation 3. In case you were waiting for this one game all this time.
7 years. Nope. GTA 5. Holding out until that comes out.
You're sitting there. You look at GTA 3 and you're like, no. Or GTA 4. It's like, no, not yet. I'm waiting.
I gotta wait 5 years.
This is it. I've been waiting for this moment all
Michael
my life.
Michael Jackson's, this is it.
Our good friend Bladed Falcon.
Falcon,
hey, buddy.
Screw Star Fox, F-Zero, and Metroid.
I would gladly do that.
I wanted to hear about a new Advanced Wars game. Considering the success of Fire Emblem Awakening, I was getting my hopes up that they'd reveal a new AW game soon. Guess I should have known better. Unhappy face.
Ready for my guess? That's going to make you and Henry upset. Next Advance Wars is going to be a Wii U exclusive, specifically an eShop download. That's going to be about asynchronous turns.
It would totally work on that touchscreen. It would be actually a really good fit for it.
Do you think Nintendo made a conscious decision with Fire Emblem Awakening? Like, oh, look, XCOM is... hot stuff right now. Let's
push it. No, because it came out in Japan like maybe XCOM, if anything, XCOM bit Fire Emblem style, like, and very well, like, they did it awesome.
I feel like Fire Emblem was announced different. Like, remember XCOM, the new, like, XCOM Enemy Unknown got announced, like, it got announced and then came out.
Yeah, but people, people were comparing it when they, like, when Gary, our old EIC, came back from playing it at Judges Week, he was like, yeah, it's like Fire Emblem or Final Fantasy Tactics. Like, what? Really? Like, they took the Fire Emblem playstyle and Americanized it and made it more approachable, and they did an awesome
job. Well, I mean, to be fair, old XCOM had that same style, less approachable.
True. Also true.
Yes.
So the result is no one ripped anyone off. Yeah. It just was not related. There's just two different games that came out.
The conclusion we could draw from this.
Next, Gamer says, I knew it was a long shot, a really, really, really long shot, but I was hoping Square would announce the FF7 remake as a launch title for the next gen console.
I mean, Square gave us a lot. They gave us.
Also, that's a beggar's not choosers thing. It's like, I want that game. As a launch title!
It does say three really, really, really launch
I feel like
shots.
He needed another 26 release.
Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 15. I mean, come on.
Come on.
What a package.
By the way, I still am really happy with the way they unveiled those games, where they were just like, we're going to have information soon. Just kidding, here it is, LOLOL.
Soon meaning right
I'm so set. Happy with how that happened.
Final Fantasy VII Remake will only happen when Square Enix is 2 months away from being gone forever.
And that's when they'll announce it.
Yeah.
And then it will not happen.
And then people will suddenly buy all their games.
We have an article about it, but the honest to God reason they're not going to do it is because it would take as long as making a new game. That's the easiest
Probably be
reason.
Just as profitable.
Yeah, at this point, they're so bad at making new games.
Well, we'll see.
It all hinges on Final Fantasy XV. If that game tanks, yep, you got your Final Fantasy VII remake.
Granted, I feel like people probably were saying that about 13 and 14, and both of them sucked.
I also
than they should have.
I wonder if it's really because it's Americans. Like, are people in Japan asking for a 7 remake, or is it just Americans?
People in Japan are just asking for Monster Hunter. They don't want anything else in the world.
And the winner! This week, Wade Smith with, I squealed loudly in excitement in front of my girlfriend when she told me Beyond Good and Evil 2 was coming to E3, and then I wept alone.
Does that mean he broke up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She lied to me when she said it would be at E3. Get the fuck out of here.
And take our child with you.
The new single,
but you leave my monkey.
The newly single Wade Smith, you have won yourself a something from the prize bin.
Ryan, that was so bad.
I'm sorry.
Another jingle idea, a jingle for whenever Ryan tells a bad joke.
Now you know.
Oh,
why.
Would that be good?
Now you know why my parents don't love me.
And a jingle for when Lucas defends a pedophile.
That'll be about a dozen of those.
Oh boy.
Congratulations, Wade Smith. You gone done it. Contact me, GregH@GamesRadar.com.
Oh, Greg.
And that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, the second G is silent.
Yep, so this next week's question of the week.
Hello.
Is?
I don't know, what is it, community manager?
What did we talk about earlier?
You were on half
that's
the show.
The question of the week.
Michael Jackson was before you, and
I
that's
was
it.
Deep in the trenches of what about, community
what
shit.
What's the funniest game you ever played?
The funniest? Oh, that's good, because Deadpool.
Because Deadpool's really funny.
Can I start?
Yeah.
Because I know somebody's going to take mine immediately.
Oh.
Secret of Monkey Island. Yep, I knew you.
I wasn't going to.
Funny game.
That was hilarious.
Oh, starring
especially the
Naomi Watts?
The sword fighting.
Insult sword fighting. So I'm gonna come real close to ripping you off. The Sam and Max games, specifically Telltale Sam and Max games, are every time a new series season comes out, which they're probably done with forever because now they're making Walking Dead games. But every time, like each there were 3 seasons, I think. Right? Is that right?
I think so.
Each time a new episode came out, I'd be like, I can't imagine these are as funny as I thought they were. And they are so witty.
Yeah.
Like, not just in terms of, like, the gameplay is good and really smart, but the dialogue is so damn funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, oh, man, so good.
This is my favorite part about Poker Night at the Inventory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, I thought you needed more time to think.
You did.
That was a good instinct, because I almost did. But I'm going to go with,
right. Oh!
Sorry, Andrew, I apologize. You can give me 40 lashings later.
What?
So I'm going to go with Team Fortress 2 because the taunts and the domination quotes are so funny in that game. And when you're dominating someone, like, that's the perfect time to hear, like, I got a tiny head, you'll never hit my head! When you're a scout killing a sniper.
So,
Henry, what's the funniest game?
Mine is going to be Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story. That is because it was the return of one of my favorite characters of all time, Fawful, the evil bean.
He was hilarious.
Says the funniest
you played that game,
ever.
I did.
Oh, I have chortles.
He chortled at everything.
I will get you mustaches. You are like...
stupid, dumb kid that draws bad pictures.
Yeah, from a kid who is stupid. so
really
funny. But it's not just him. Everybody's hilarious. And, like, Bowser is so, like... He's so stubbornly stupid that when people say, like, please, sir, that will kill you, he's like, I'm awesome. It can't kill me.
He essentially, like, Bowser in that entire series of the Mario and Luigi RPGs has the same personality as Deadpool. Like, he's just like, whatever, I'm the coolest guy ever.
Yeah.
Everybody loves me.
So funny.
All right. Sorry, I choked on my own spit.
In excitement.
I was really excited. So, the funniest game I remember playing, and this was only because I had no exposure to this series prior, probably, but the WarioWare smooth moves, when you unlock a new gesture and the narrator dryly explains to you how this is going to work.
Damn, move your arm down.
Like a young student studying a fishpole.
Like,
so too will you learn to dance like a falcon. And it's just like, what? It's just like so many random things, and that was often our go-to drinking game in college.
It's a good drinking game.
It really is.
The GameCube one was really good, too, because it had these things in it. If I remember correctly, there'd be like, you'd do a mini game, and then it would be like, now, quick, quack like a duck. And obviously the game can't know, and it would be like, all right, other players? Did he quack like a duck? Because if not, you don't hit no, and you won't get any points this turn.
It was the doctor says one when the doctor tells you to do stuff. My favorite memory of that, in my when me and my friends played it once, the question was like, what was the funniest dream your friend had? And then and you had to say it in like 10 seconds, and my friend was like, Joe said he wanted to make a movie about skeletons.
Oh, so good. I feel like the game that made me laugh the hardest, though, is I do have a really vivid childhood memory of at a sleepover party playing one of the N64 Mario Party games, and we had three people playing, and the AI on that game for the fourth player was horrible. And we were doing that one Mario Party game where you're all standing on these giant balls, and you had to knock each other off, and every time we would do it, Peach would just immediately go off the side and, like, commit suicide.
Jettison off the edge.
And I remember laughing so hard that I came close to passing out because she did it three games in a row. And I remember, like, at the end of the second game, it's like, if that happens again, I'm going to die. And then she just went like, and I just remember laying on the ground, holding my chest, being like, I'm going to black out. This is where I die. I'm going to black out.
Thankfully, you didn't, like, accidentally vomit all over yourself.
I'm surprised I did.
Laughing so hard, you almost puke.
Every single time I laugh. This podcast is usually an inch away from being filled with vomit.
Let's all make barfing noises.
No.
Let's make that noise where you itch your neck into the microphone.
Oh, I just shaved. I got no beard.
We have to set up for this one then.
Ugh. Oh, I hate that one so much.
So that's it for episode 44. You can answer the question to this week's question of the week, which is, what's the funniest game you played? In the comment section, or you can shoot an email to Greg at GamesRadar.com. Mention us on Twitter. At GR Radio Radar. And also, before we forget, Ryan, why don't you shed some light on a new community segment?
Oh, yes. The much-lauded Game Club will make a return.
I'm not sure bum, bum, bum was the sound effect to go with.
Someone was shocked out
there. Expect to see a post on that on Monday. We'll get that rolling out. We will start at the very beginning of July and expect at least one new game every month. Although we'll be playing, classics that you should have in your library.
Should you explain it for people that haven't participated?
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea is it's going to work kind of like book clubs work, where we're going to, play a game over the span of a month. We're going to talk about it and have a good chat about what we thought at the
Broskies.
End.
And we're going to end it with a spoiler cast for that game.
Yep.
Yeah.
An in-depth, hour-long spoiler cast for each game that we play in the game.
Can we just say what the first one is to get people ready?
We're going to start out. We're going to kick things off with Psychonauts.
Yes.
It might be the most stereotypical thing for us to go with, but you know what?
Well, yeah.
I haven't played it.
I haven't either.
So I'm super happy with that.
Speaking of funny games.
We're going to try and stick to relatively inexpensive games that are widely available. So. Yeah.
Though we're going
to
warn you, we may, depending on how well it does, we may end up holding off once we get to like October, November.
Right,
because last year, one of the reasons we stopped doing it is because we kept doing it during that, and we ended up not having time to do it, and we felt bad.
Yeah.
So...
But yes, look for the post Monday. You will see it, and we'll get things going on that.
Well, I also wanted to beg real quick, like, guys, we haven't had a new review in like 2 weeks on iTunes. Come on! Give us a review. 5 stars. I don't care what you write, but 5 stars and words.
You'll kill
iTunes
all of us
review.
If you don't.
So you could just go up, 5 star, I like when Henry farts.
Sure, even that. Do whatever.
You
please.
Have your mission. And and we have a new weekly video series, Super Smash Bros. Wii U Weekly. You can check it out every Wednesday on the YouTubes and the website.
One of my favorite videos that we've created. Yeah,
the funny thing is, Henry, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but we did it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. But everyone keeps laughing really hard at it, and I don't understand why they find it so entertaining.
Yeah, I'm worried. Like, I keep watching.
Like, people watch it. Like, Tom was laughing hysterically, and I'm just like,
I was crying,
and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it's that funny.
Yeah,
is that revealing too much?
You're too close to.
Do I feel?
You're
I'm
too close. To
I'm
it.
No, yeah. I'm not. I'm not even. It's not that I'm not confident. I mean, we weren't trying to make it funny.
That's what's so funny about it.
We're just. I'm just like, is everyone laughing at us or with us? Yeah, I don't understand.
Therein lies the humor, and it's a lot. Too with the effects editing.
The editing, yeah.
I like that too, and I found that funny. But I'm just worried that we're being laughed at, Henry.
Yeah, I'm a little.
No. Keep up the good work, and don't try to make.
Don't
it funny.
Change a thing.
Well, we're gonna be better at our presence as time goes on.
I mean, it's a new thing
in terms of remembering to look at the camera and stuff like that.
not picking your nose.
Oh, and we're also
not as much.
Another thing. We're also doing new live streams now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Community segment.
Hooray! Tuesday night live streams called, what did we end up sticking with, like,
did it have a name?
GR at home or like.
Did we call it that?
Games Radar with a glass of Chianti or.
That sounds like a Tom idea.
Nah, I'm making them all up.
Yeah, I was going to say those both sound like Tom ideas.
So we have our regular stream, which is on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, which is going really well. And if you aren't watching it, you should tune in. We like to do a lot of giveaways and stuff. But we're starting a new stream on Tuesday nights from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard
Never
Time.
Never forget.
Or Pacific Daylight Time, whatever. Lucas like saw me out on
I
that.
I knew
all
Lucas
time.
Was about to say it. He looked at
well,
me.
Well, later this year, it'll be Pacific Standard Time. Anyways, so it's one. It's a little bit different. It's one editor at home playing a game of their choice.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
No. But it's a little later in the night, so...
And last time, it was we had... Though one editor was playing a game of his choice, we had three editors actually playing.
That's
in the mix.
Yeah. So they were playing... Ryan was hosting, playing some League of Legends. That's had fun. A couple other guys in there.
Who's next week? Am I next week?
I don't know.
You're next week. What are you playing? Do you know?
I don't know.
I'd say if you can think of a... Oh, want to do Unreal Tournament?
Well, the problem is we can't line it up. If
we
it
could on we could online, right?
Yeah.
Also, you're hosting the regular show... On Wednesday from 3 to 5
That's
next week.
That's true.
And the week after that, because I'm going to be gone for 2
Oh, you're getting married again.
Yeah, I got a divorce.
It
real
is a goddamn sauna in here.
It's really
right
hot.
Now. I just want to say...
Oh, you just use that as an excuse to flex your muscles, man. Don't lie.
That's true. I'm getting swole.
So, yeah, live streams on Wednesdays, Tuesdays, new video show on Wednesdays.
Lots of new stuff.
Make us jingles, answer the question of the week. Talk about Henry's farts on iTunes.
With 5 stars.
Follow us on Twitter, and we will talk to you later.
Which conveys a more important message? I can't hear shit in my headphones.
Can you? No? What color are you have? Green? Your headphones are green.
Don't worry about it. I don't want to hear anything in my headphones. Which conveys a more important message?
Can you hear anything now?
Yes, I can.
I turned it as loud as possible. Is that the correct amount?
I mean, I don't...
What if I yell?
I mean...
God, no. That's such a dick
move. I mean, which conveys a more important message?
You know, I don't think my earphones are on either.
I'm turning everyone's all the way up, and you can tell me if you want it to go down.
I can hear you normal, because you're sitting right across the table from me. It's like I don't even need to be wearing these headphones.
Don't turn mine up. I can hear fine.
Me too. Okay. I don't want to die.
Just
now,
tell I'm me good. That it's right, and I'll believe you. Every single... Which it, conveys a more...
I already put my card down.
Sorry.
Criminy. My card?
Okay. I put my
How about now, Hank? Can you hear anything?
Yeah, I hear much better.
What about now? Is it too loud?
Almost, yes.
Right there is good?
Yeah, it's good.
All right, Ryan, I'm going to turn yours up really fucking loud. Ryan,
okay,
Ryan, I'm
going
to turn it up so fucking loud. What color are you?
Lemmings! Lemmings conveys the most important message. I choose lemmings because, you know, there are times in your life when you may say to yourself, you know what?
What a wonderful
world. I
don't
feel confident about myself or the decisions I make. So I'm going to do what that asshole is doing. And invariably, that asshole knows just as little about life and decision-making as you do. But the secret is he's looking confident while he's making terrible decisions.
So the guy next to me who ordered 6 chicken tenders
and
a cheesy gordita crunch was not the asshole to follow, Tom.
The guy next... You were the one who ordered the cheesy gordita crunch.
That was all you.
I hate my life.
Hey, you know, this is a fact that gets brought up every time someone mentions lemmings, but you know they don't actually... follow, like, that was an old wives' tale.
Why is Henry telling me
lemmings follow people off of
your argument?
And that, this goes to a funny story about Disney in the 50s did an Animal Kingdom special about, like, oh, lemmings follow people off a mountain. They follow each other off a mountain to death. But they did it, they had to shove lemmings off of a mountain to fake the shot. So they murdered poor little lemmings for a Disney
special. That's a true story. I've heard
that.
Disney used to kill fucking animals all the time. You know Milo and Otis? That movie does not end with no animals were harmed during the making of this film, because there were like 80 Milos and 75 Odai.
You know Fox and the Hound?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that Fox and the Hound are both dead.
What about Where the Red Fern Grows?
Nobody knows what that is.
I love that book. Fuck hey, you. Mine is Nintendog, speaking of dogs.
Speaking of dogs that you can neglect until they die.
Yeah, in Redford. That's the important lesson. You shouldn't do that to dogs. Dogs are your friends, and treat them well.
When they die, it'll hit you right in the nuts.
Except for when they're stray and hungry and rabid.
Right.
Then they're not.
How unfair is it that dogs only live for 13 years? Like, right when you're just getting to know them, they just fucking die. And
God damn, that's deep.
I went with Scrabulous
because this teaches
two important lessons. One, you need to know how to spell shit, because that's generally an important thing to know in general. Uh-huh. But also,
is that really true? I feel like Bill Gates does all my spelling these days.
Yeah.
I mean, you do need to at least understand the basics of spelling.
Okay,
and that's important for this game. But also, it teaches.
I'm an editor, and I don't know the basics of spelling.
It also teaches you about America's litigious society. I mean, because this was a blatant ripoff of Scrabble, and they were brought to court, you know, for their actions.
Were they?
They were brought to justice.
Yeah. Brought down? Or
no, I don't know. Oh. I don't remember.
I
went with.
They were
Missile broken. Command.
Okay. Wow, skipping me over like a real son of a snake.
And the reason I went with Missile Command is because it's a game about the worries and the troubles and fears about a world where countries all have nuclear arms. And you can't hug your kids with those arms.
I mean, you can.
I forgot what the question was, so...